Okay, we good? Yes. So Gordon's away to the U.S., and he sent his American ambassador to be here today. So it's great to be here. I understand Fraser broke his wrist. Is that right? Unfortunately. Gordon's really going to take Fraser and have an experience over there really in a good way, and I just hated when I heard that I came in this morning. Can we just pray for him? The Lord would just make this time. It's really all about Fraser, I think, this trip. Gordon said it's a holiday on paper for him. But I'd just like to pray that the enemy's not able to steal any of this time, for him and for Fraser especially. So, Lord, we want to pray for his wrist and pray that you would just touch him and heal him. And everything would be well. I pray there would be no permanent complications from this. And Lord, even this trip, I pray the enemy wouldn't be able to steal any of the joy and the productivity and the just the fulfillment of what you want to do, during this time. I pray both Gordon and Fraser would just feel surrounded by your presence and by your love, Lord, during this trip. We thank you, Jesus. And we bless you for Gordon and his leadership in this church. We, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I really like your chairs. This is great. All I need are gulp holders on the side and a remote control to turn the pastor off when you're, but it looks really, really good. Yeah, it's great. I'm getting to know you and love you more. When Gordon and I get together, typically most Mondays, sometimes we have appointments and we can't make it, but we get together just to share a bit and to pray together. And he ends up praying for Crossroads, and I end up praying for you and the church here. So God's doing something in our hearts, it's just a joy to be here. And I'm praying this church just continues to grow and kingdom things happen here and God's presence. It's easy to speak when Jesus is in the house. It's just wonderful. And so this has been a wonderful time of worship today and just being with you. And I trust that God's just going to bless your socks off as, we share the word together. All right. I'm going to pray and just ask for Jesus' help today and what I want to bring to you and that he would speak to all of our hearts in the way that he would desire to. Lord, we can do nothing without you, nothing that's going to last for eternity or counts for anything. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would come and your anointing would be here and your presence, Lord, would fill our hearts with your word, with revelation, with power, and with the potential, Lord, of changing us for your kingdom purposes. Lord, would you just open our hearts now to receive your word and your spirit in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a bit of a miracle that I stand in front of you for a number of reasons. What I did during my childhood and all the crazy things that you do when you're growing up. But I'm not speaking of that in particular. It's a miracle, really, because I grew up in a wonderful church, conservative church, Bible believing, for the most part, and love Jesus and all of that. But we were very anti-charismatic. We were not neutral. I mean, anything having Pentecostal in the name was like kryptonite to us. And I was just taught to run away from those things, So that was just my upbringing. And I learned to love Jesus, and I knew all the Bible stories, and he was working in my life kind of thing. But, I just didn't have anything to do. I wouldn't have ever come in a church like this. Well, I went away to Bible college to train for the ministry in Houston, Texas, and I started working in a health food store, and there was a gal there that was one of those that I knew and I had been taught to stay away from. You could tell, when she would stump her toe, it was like, oh, bless God, and it was like, what? This is weird, strange, and she would just go on, and she started inviting me to her church, and I thought she was just going to wear me out. Now, I don't know, going to a Bible college, if I would have gotten in trouble for going to a pub, or not. But going to a charismatic church would have kicked me out on the ear. So it was kind of a, it was a big deal to go to church with her. But I remember going in to this church, and some of you probably even know the name of the church when I was there. And you could just feel the love of God. There's probably 1,000 people in the room. It was wonderful. The worship was great, and it was really, really good. But right in the middle of the service, the pastor stood up, and he spoke in tongues. And then somebody else, a lady, stood up. I think it was his wife, and she interpreted what he said. Now, that was all biblical, but in my mind, that was, you might as well raise a Nazi flag over the pulpit. It was just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And it just did something to me, you know, that I didn't like. Well, at the end of the service, the pastor was giving an invitation for people to respond, and I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me to come. Now, I knew it was him because I knew what it felt like when I first gave my life to Jesus. And it was the same Holy Spirit. And it got me really, really scared. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, and I just started having this conversation. Lord, if I go forward and receive what this, I'm getting kicked out of school. My denomination will kick me out of my ear. My parents won't understand. My church won't understand. Lord, do you know what you're doing? You know, when you have all these walls and barriers and you don't want to accept, you know, the things, you can just miss the good things that God has for you. You know what I'm talking about. I was thinking about a farmer that came into church, and he spoke to the secretary, and he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. And the secretary got all kind of offended that, you know, the farmer wasn't respecting the pastor, and he said, I'd like to give $10,000 to the church from a livestock sale I had. And she said, hold just a minute. I think the big pig just walked in. You know, we don't receive from God sometimes because we've got these walls up and wrong understanding in our heads and in our hearts. And God has to break those walls down. So the gal that brought me to church that night, she looked at me and said, I need to go. Would it be all right if we leave early? And it was like that was my ticket out of there. And so I left. But boy, it did something to me. Now, 9 years later, and I'll tell you more about the story in a bit, I began to get hungry for more of God. And I began to realize and recognize there's got to be more of this Christian experience than I'm having right now. And it began to stir in me, and this hunger started developing in me. I wasn't looking for any kind of experience. I wasn't looking for any kind of gift, you know. I just want God, and I just want what He has for me. And there was just this hunger in me that, and I remember one morning I was having my devotion time, and that whole experience that was now 9 years in my past back in Houston, Texas, it was like airdropped on me. And I said, Lord, if this hunger that I have in my heart, if it has anything to do with that experience that I had back there in that church in Houston, Texas, then I'm open to that. I want what you want. It doesn't matter anymore what my parents think. I'm not disrespecting my parents or my denomination, but I want what you have. And I'm asking that you would bring me back to that experience. And it was like I felt like it was going to be answered. You know, just one of those, ooh, he did this to me. Well, the very next day, I went to my ministry center where we were ministering, and the lady I was working with, and she brought me a book, and she said, and I said, what is this? And she said, well, I just thought you might want to read it. She was lying, really. The Holy Spirit told her to bring that book to me. And she knew that those kind of things about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and all that kind of stuff would put me up. She knew my walls, but she felt led to bring it. So she did, and I took the book, and I just started fanning through till I got to about 3/4 of the way back, and he said, I'm the pastor of 7400 East Houston Road. I used to be a Baptist pastor, and God filled me with the Holy Spirit and wrecked my life and turned my whole life upside down. It was the same man that I had been 9 years back. Now, here's the next day. I asked God, you bring me back to that place, and I'm looking at the pastor from the same church where I was sitting. Yes, I just dropped to the floor and I began to weep. The lady thought she had totally offended me. And I said, no, it's all right. God's got me. You know those times when he's got you. You know. And I took the book and I went home and I read it. And he's talked about speaking in tongues and everything else. Like, and how do you think I felt? I hated it. In 9 years, I hadn't gotten any farther along. But the difference was God had me by the necktie or the, you know, collar, and he was, yanking on me. And I knew that. And I just began to recognize something's wrong here. I know this is God. He did this to me. And he's moving in me and working in me. Now, what I recognized after all the experience and everything that has happened to me subsequent to that, and that experience that I had just a little bit later I'll tell you about, was that there were some things that God had to do in my heart in order to get me ready for Pentecost, to be filled with His Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus. In fact, He would lead me and guide me, and I could give you many examples of that. I loved Him, but I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. But there were some things that Jesus had to do in me to get me ready for that. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. Peter kind of is an example of a prerequisite to Pentecost. Sorry for the alliteration. The things that are prerequisites that we need for God's power and His indwelling presence to come into our life. Okay? So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 21. John 21. This is when, Jesus is resurrected from the dead many days. And it's one of the other times that He's appearing to the disciples, there. So that's kind of the setup. But it's before Pentecost. So in chapter 21 of John, afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And it happened this way. Simon Peter and some of the others. And Simon Peter said, "I'm going out to fish," he told them. "Well, we'll go with you," the other said. So they went out and they got into the boat that night, but they caught nothing. Now, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Like deja vu, they've done this before. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, who's writing this book, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. For they weren't not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like Peter. He helps me. He just says things before his brain is engaged. And he's impetuous and he's always getting in trouble with his mouth. And he builds you up in the sense like, well, if Peter can make it, I can make it. It's going to be okay. But there's some things I love about Peter. He's just not a half-hearted kind of guy. He's all in, sometimes, when you go to work, you roll your sleeves up. Well, here, Peter took his clothes off. when he works, it's like, we're going to get it done here. When they recognize that it's Jesus, Peter's not willing to just sit idly, and let's row your boat to the shore. He's got his clothes on, and here he is jumping in the water, and because he's got to be at the feet of Jesus. He's, if I would say in Eastern Kentucky, he's whole hog. He's all in. Here we go. That's what he is. That's who he is, and he's going for it. But there's this abandonment that we see now in Peter to Jesus. He's completely and totally abandoned. It doesn't matter about the boatload of fish. I mean, it's like that's what he works for. And that doesn't matter. He wants to be at the feet of Jesus. That's the most important thing. And that had to happen in Peter's heart for him to be able to experience what was going to happen days later at Pentecost. And I'm just saying has to happen in all of our lives. There's got to be this abandonment to Jesus, that He means more to us than anything else. This whole thing of idolatry, it's not like I doubt that any of you all have a little Buddha or some kind of thing, idol setting up in your home. I say you probably don't. But in this Western culture that we live in, we've got all kinds of idols. And it's not like we wake up one morning and say, "Today I think that I will put other things before Jesus. And I'm going to begin to worship and make other things more important than God in my life and His choice." We don't do that. We just kind of slide into things by choices that we make and because the world around us. And we get to the place where we're no longer abandoned to whatever Jesus wants and who he is in our life. And he calls us to this level of abandonment to him, to be at his feet, to worship him. And not just worship him on Sunday morning. I'm talking about on Monday morning when the way Jesus wants us to do business is more important than how the world is doing business. Okay? We're honoring him in all that we are and all that we do. This abandonment to him. I don't know if you've experienced in your life times when the Lord called you on things and said, you need to give this up in your life. Not because he wants to take all the good things away from us. That's not the point. Like the rich young ruler. He didn't want this guy poor. That wasn't the point. It was that his riches held his heart. And that, the idolatry of that, and putting something before Jesus was what was going to corrupt everything. Yeah. So it's not a matter, it's that Jesus just wants us to give up things for themselves. It's not about that. It's not about legalism. And it's all about him being Lord. I remember the Lord asked me one time, I want you to give up weightlifting. When I was in high school, and he dealt with me about it. So I loved it. After school, I'd go, and that's what I did. And so I got to that point, oh my, I'm going to have to give this up the rest of my life. But I settled it. Okay, Lord. And instantly, this Lord said, you don't have to give this up. But I don't want anything to come between me and you, ever. And you've got to keep it in right priority. You get that? Now, that was back when I was a kid, and there's been many things that I could talk to you about, and you all can relate to what I'm talking about. There are times in our lives where we've got to do business with God, and he's got to, listen, he's God. And the last time I checked, he knows he is. And he knows that we're not, and we've got to come to the place where we recognize that we're not. And so, abandonment to Jesus. Secondly, if you look in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, Peter, do you love me? Truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, what in the world is going on there? Well, let me just remind you, just several days before, Jesus has this encounter with Peter, and Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Why, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, that'll never happen. No, that's not going to happen, Peter said. And we all know the story that, yes, he did. He did deny him. And that, the pain of that. Here, think of this. Peter cursed and swore three times that he knew Jesus. He's been with Jesus for 3 years, one of his closest friends on earth. And now he's denying, cursing and swearing that he even knows. That's another reason. That helps me. I haven't done that. And I can get forgiveness. Are you following me? In fact, at the time when Peter is Jesus is prophesying to him and saying, Peter, you're going to do this. Jesus said, but I've prayed for you. Satan wanted to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when you are restored, strengthen your brothers. It was like Jesus was saying, I've got a job for you on the other side of this tragedy, this terrible sin that you're going to commit. I've got a job for you. In fact, you're going to launch the church for us. How's that? That gives me hope. I don't know about you, but it's like, yes, Lord. Because I blow it sometimes. I mess up and I sin. Yeah, let me just call it what it is. It's like, I don't do things properly. I sin. and it's good to know that we've got a Savior who's on our side, an advocate on our side. But this is what is going on in Peter's mind. Lord, you know. It's like, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you really love me? It's like Jesus is taking his finger and putting it into the deepest, darkest crevices in Peter's heart. What's really on the inside there? Now, Jesus already knows, but he's pressing Peter. Okay? And in order for Peter to be ready for all that God's going to do at Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit, He's got to be willing to allow Jesus to look in the deepest, darkest places of Peter's heart. And honestly, he's got to be able to look into the deepest and darkest places in our hearts. Everybody doesn't know what we do, but he does. He knows it all. He sees it all. And we've got to be willing to let him examine and come into the deepest, darkest places of our life. The internet, our checkbooks, our bank accounts, how we treat our employers, how we treat our employees, how we speak to our spouse, how we deal with our kids. We got to let him look into every area of our life. Because last time I checked, he's still God. He loves us, and he knows the things that pull on us and the difficulties that we have. And he sympathizes with us in our temptation, but he wants us to be free. Free. And we've got to be willing to let him look into those places in our heart and give us freedom and victory in those areas of our life. This is what propelled me into this hunger that I talked to you about before I was filled with the Spirit. I prayed one morning. I was having my devotion time. I said, Lord, I just pray your perfect will would be done in me today, even as it is in heaven. You know that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. I just made that personal. Let me just warn you, that's a dangerous prayer. But I wrote it out. And I was like, you know, may your perfect will be done in me today, Lord, even as it is in heaven. And I got in my car and I headed to the seminary, where I was staying. Now, I'd already had 5 years of Bible college. I had 2-3 years of Greek, you know, biblical Greek in me. I was studying theology. It's like, this is what I was doing, okay? And I get in the car and I pulled out of the bank and there was a man standing there. It started to rain and he was hitchhiking. And I just like, before I thought about it, I let him in my car, you know, and got in the car. He got in and, you know, I could smell the alcohol, and it'd been a while since he'd been to the shower. And I asked him, I said, where are you going? And this is what he says to me. I'm leaving my wife. I lived with her for 6 years before I married her. I married her last Friday, and she burnt the toast this morning, so I'm leaving. I thought, oh. We need a marriage seminar. And then I heard the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit say, tell him about Jesus. And then I started having this like meltdown in my mind. It's like, Lord, I don't know where to start. You heard what he just said. I mean, do I tell him about Zacchaeus climbing the tree? I mean, what we got a lot of ground to cover here. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, like, ah, and I'm going, ah, I'm going to seminary that day. Okay. And it was like, I didn't know where to start. Just tell him about Jesus. And I couldn't do it. And I said, so which way are you going? He said, I'm going on straight. And I was turning off and getting off the highway. And I let him out of my car before I shared with him. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get him out of my car. It's going to, oh, you know, finally. And I got him out and I closed the door and I started onto the highway. And I felt, I don't know what the rich young ruler felt, but man, it had to feel something like what I felt. It was like disobedience. Ugh. And I want to tell you, it sent me into a tailspin because I'd been going to church from the time I was 2 weeks old. I was cutting my teeth on the church pew. I knew enough Bible to save the universe. And I didn't have enough power to speak the name of Jesus in the privacy of my own car to a stranger. Now, I did the math. Something's wrong. I had all the knowledge and no power. God, something's wrong, and I'm not going to have a ministry. Like, what's wrong with me? And I want to tell you, it sent me into a tailspin. A good one, a wonderful one. I could have saved myself a lot of trouble if I, 9 years ago, I'd said yes to him back there in Houston, Texas, but I didn't. And now he's got me. And it began to, Lord, whatever you want. Okay. But he had to open that part of my heart and show me who I really was. and what I didn't have and what he wanted to do in me. And when he did that, then that opened me up and made me ready for what he wanted to do. Pentecost, power, and everything else that came with it. Last thing, look in verse 18. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, Peter, and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." And Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, was following them. This is the one who had leaned back on Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? You're telling me this is going to happen to me, but what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." What made Peter ready for Pentecost was he was willing to do whatever Jesus asked him to do, no matter what he asked anybody else to do. He came to grips with this understanding. Jesus' assignment to me is what his assignment to me. And it doesn't matter what he calls the other guy to do. I've got to be willing to do what he asked me to do. You get the point? There's got to be this willingness to do whatever he calls us to do, no matter what that is. Even if he doesn't call somebody else to do that. Of course he's not. We all have different assignments. We all have different graces. We all have different strengths, different abilities, even spiritual giftings. He puts different spiritual giftings in us for the assignment that he's given us because our assignments are different. The assignments of churches are different. It's like, yes, what are we doing comparing ourselves to somebody else? I don't know. Last time I checked, I haven't found anybody on the planet that looks like me. You can praise the Lord for that. And there's nobody on the planet looks like you. It's like we're all different. And so are our assignments. They might be similar to somebody else, but they're all different. And we have to be willing to do what he wants us to do, no matter what he calls anybody else to do. So I'm sitting in Kentucky for 16 years in ministry. You know, we were working there in a very impoverished area, planned to be there all our life. There was enough vision there for a lifetime. And God begins to stir in us. And we thought, is transition coming? Is he saying he's got something different for us to do? And this happened at different times in our life with different things. But this was a major life focus change. We didn't know. We just started praying for 9 months. And at the end of the time, the Lord broke the silence at 1:30 in the morning. I'm sitting in bed, and the Holy Spirit just says, "I have a work for you to do in Edinburgh." I said, "What?" I mean, I'll just be honest. My response, like, "You mean Scotland?" He went like, "Yes, Lord, I will be your brave heart." And "You mean Scotland? What?" I mean, that was before Braveheart was even made. I had no fantasy about wearing a kilt, or I hadn't done any heritage looking at my family. You know, I look back one generation, my family got real scared and I stopped doing any genealogy study. So I don't know if I'm Scottish or not, and you don't want to know either. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do with that." Literally. I mean, I could have, you just had to see where we were. We were piping in sunshine. We were far away from civilization. Sometimes we'd go to the movies and it would say, you'd see a trailer of a movie and it said, "Coming to a theater near you." Yeah. I said, "You don't know where I live." There ain't no theaters close to me. You know, I could go on about that. "Lord, if this is you, you're going to have to do something. I don't know what to do with this. I can't. I don't know anybody in Scotland. It balls in your court." Within 2 weeks, the only person I knew from the UK called me on the phone out of the blue and said, "Tom, I've been praying for you. What's God saying to you about your future?" Oh, I'm in trouble. I said, "Well, Ray, I think he's saying he's got to work for us to do in Scotland, but I don't know what in the world that is. I don't know what to do with that." He said, "Well, I don't know anybody in Scotland, but I know people in London who know all the people in Scotland. So you just book tickets to London, rent you a car, and drive north. It's like crossing the Red Sea. But within 4 weeks, here we come. People say, did you just have this big burden on your heart for Scott? No. I was minding my own business. But I'd already fallen in love with this man, Jesus, who'd been faithful to lead me for years. And I knew his voice. And I knew if he had something to do for us, that's where we needed to go. And he was going to make a way. And there were people there that we needed to meet. And there are people that needed to come to Jesus. So yes, Lord. There's nothing great about us. Ask my wife. She can tell you about me. There's nothing great about it. And, you know, it's all just about following him and saying yes to him. But this is what I'm counting on. When Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, I believe that. And I know I need him. And I know I need his spirit. And at that time in my life, I knew I needed more than what I had. So in this time, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I started wrestling with God. And Lord, you've got to do something in me. I don't understand this theology of speaking in tongues and all of this. I don't get it all. But I know you're after me. And I want whatever you want to do in me. And for 2 weeks I wrestled until finally faith rose in my heart that I could receive this. The guy that was the pastor in Houston, he had to overcome more barriers than I did intellectually. And I thought, I can get there then. I got my friend and we went into his apartment. I locked the door behind us and I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here till you fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I got on the floor and I started crying out to the Lord. And he filled me. And it changed everything. I am a different man today. Every day I'd walk down the street, he'd say, go talk to that person. It's like, okay, Lord, go into that pool hall and talk. I didn't used to do pool halls, but here we go. And every time I went, there was effect. Things happened. And I saw the difference. It's because of him. It's not because I'm clever. It's not because I've got 9 years of Bible training. It's not about that. It's about being abandoned to Jesus. It's about selling out. It's about going where he wants you to go and letting him look in the dark places of your heart and let him be Jesus and be God. Amen? Okay, why don't you stand with me? Fiona, you want to come? I just want to give you an opportunity to respond today. If any of this touched your heart, you know this whole thing of abandon to Jesus, if there's an area of your life that you feel like it's gotten a little too important ahead of what for you, I want to give you an opportunity to just do business with him. If you know there's some things in your heart and your life that keep stumbling over, you just keep think there's stuff in there. Maybe today just you coming forward and saying yes, Jesus, is a commitment to go to counseling and get some help, just to talk to somebody about what's going on. He doesn't want us to limp through life. That's not his plan for us. He wants to look into our heart and give us freedom. That's what it's all about. And then God's call on your life, whatever that assignment is. Go to that job, go to that city, go to that, whatever he's asking you to do. I'm going to give you the freedom to just do business with the Lord. Fiona, would you just play for us in just a minute? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to give you opportunity just to come forward and we'll have the prayer team come and meet you here if you'd like prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, would you just speak to our hearts today? And now would you pull us, Lord, by your presence and your power? We know, Lord, you want to fill every crack, nook, and cranny in our life. And we're asking, Lord, you would just take over and be who you want to be in us. Would you do this, Jesus? Come now, Lord. Help us to be honest and open with you, Lord. Not leave here today the same. If you want to do a work in us, Lord, I pray we wouldn't leave here the same. you'd have your way. And do this now in Jesus' name. You want to just come and stand here in this area, and the prayer team will meet you here. We'll take a moment to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Work in our hearts, Lord. Freedom, Lord. Freedom for you to work today. Freedom, Jesus. Just take freedom in our hearts today, Lord. May your will be done, Lord, in our hearts today, even as they are in heaven. May your will be done, Lord, in our hearts today, even as your will is done in heaven. Have your way, Jesus. Do business, Lord, in our hearts, Jesus. Those that you've come, just open your hearts to Him. Begin to pray. Ask Him to do business in you. Give Him what you need to give Him. Turn over what you need to turn over to Him. Ask Him to shine His big torch into your heart and show you what needs to change. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.